Well, welcome to week 9 of our sermon series for women of the Bible. It's hard to believe that this has been going on for 9 weeks already, and we just have one more week to go, and then we'll start a new sermon series called The Summer of Love. So have you ever really wanted something really bad? I remember when I was probably about Emerson's age, about 8 years old, one of my favorite TV shows was The Dukes of Hazzard. And one day, Mom took me to the Hills department store. And I don't know if they had Hills department stores over here on the west side, but that's not around anymore. And Hills was a low-budget department store, but they had one heck of a toy department. And I walked into the store, and there it was, the toy of toys, a two-car set. One was a Hazzard County Sheriff car, and the other was a General Lee. A bright orange Dodge Charger with the number one on the side, just like on the TV show. Now, let's take all the political correctness out. This was a TV show I loved as a kid, and I really wanted this two-car set really bad. I asked my mom. I pleaded with my mom. And every time we went to the store, I stood in the aisle just drooling over it, hoping and wishing for it. I had a birthday coming up. I asked for it, and I asked for it, and I asked for it, and I asked for it. And I prayed for it, and I prayed for it. I even wished upon the first star I saw each night. I'm not sure if there was a toy I ever really wanted more. And then my birthday happened, and I was one happy boy when I unwrapped that toy set. And I had some real fun with that car set in the living room and through the hallways. I made all kinds of ramps and things out of books and scrap pieces of wood and pillows, trying to recreate all the amazing jumps the car did in the TV show. I think it helped that I asked and I asked and I asked and I asked. Today's scripture reading was about someone who really wanted something and just wouldn't give up asking for it until she got it. In Luke 18, the scripture starts off with this. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I mean, that's the whole sermon right there. You should always pray and not give up. But no, you don't get to go home yet. But you should always pray and not give up. You should always pray and not give up. This is a common theme throughout the ministry of Jesus and even through the teaching of the apostles. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Paul tells us in Romans 12:12 to be faithful in prayer. In Ephesians, he writes, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. In his letter to the Colossians, he writes, devote yourselves to prayer. In his letter to the Thessalonians, he says, pray continually. You should always pray and not give up. You should always pray and not give up. This goes for us as individuals, and this goes for us as a church. And as we go back to the parable, Jesus said there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. The widow kept asking, kept asking, kept asking. She deserved justice. Justice was the right thing. She knew it and she kept after it until she got it. Now, the word justice is certainly a word that has been thrown around a lot in our news. We have thousands of people out into the streets marching for justice, people standing against injustice. But what does this word justice mean, and what is true justice? It seems to have a different meaning for different people. There are people who define justice and injustice based on their personal experiences and what they have lived through. And what makes it hard is that there are others who, based on their personal experiences, will take opposing claims to the claim of justice and injustice. There are many on both sides of the issue that point their fingers at the few and blame the many. We, as Christians, need to be justice seekers. We, as Christians, need to be part of the solution that root out injustices. But we have to be very careful on how we define justice or how we define injustice. Because how I see things through my eyes is very different than how you see things. We are very biased people. Our perceptions are based on our culture and our experiences. What one person defines as freedom and justice or injustice is different than another's. And it doesn't matter if it's related to what we call gun rights. People are polarized. We can talk about abortion and people are polarized. We can talk about wealth or lack of wealth and people are polarized. We can talk about racial issues and again, people are polarized. What creates the problem in all of these issues is that we often have our priorities upside down. We are typically focused on ourselves. We are focused on how things affect us directly. We are focused on what we believe, what we want, how we think things should go. And the truth is this: our sin and our selfishness is at the root of all of our problems and all of our divisions. What we must do is let go of our perceptions and redefine real freedom through Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us this in the Gospel of John: if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Paul writes this in Galatians: you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping the one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Did you hear that last part? If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. I think that's a very powerful statement, isn't it? Isn't that what we see going on in the news and on social media? People biting and destroying each other? If we want real justice, if we want real freedom, if we want to root out injustices, then we first have to root out the sin in our own lives. We have to get rid of our own selfishness. And then secondarily, we need to stop attacking each other. And then we must go out and serve others with the love of Jesus Christ. And when we come together and we unite in prayer, when we unite in love for God and love for others, then God will see and hear us. Then we will see God at work and we will see real change. And going back to the parable, it tells us this: for some time the judge refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. The scriptures are telling us, if an earthly judge is willing to change to create justice, how much more is our God, who loves us, willing to bring us justice if we go to him? Our God wants us to be free from our sins. Our God wants us to be peacemakers. He wants us to love him and to love each other. Our God wants us to be blessed. And our real freedom, our real justice, comes when we sin no longer, and when the sin no longer controls our lives, when we are no longer bound by our own selfish desires. I mean, think about it. If everything that I did, if I did it out of love for God and love for others, and if everything that you did out of love for God and love for others, don't you think this world would be changed? Imagine if we served with love. Imagine if we listened with love. Imagine if we reacted with love. Don't you see, this is how we will overcome these problems in front of us? We need to love others as Christ loves us. And Jesus ends the parable with this: however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I think we have more faith in ourselves than we have in God. We have more faith in politicians than we have in God. See, we must have faith that God can and will keep his promises. What good does it do us to ask God for something if we don't really believe, if we don't have the faith that he can actually do it? Do you believe that God answers prayers? Do you have faith that God is our God? Do you have faith that God can intervene in these situations? We must have genuine faith that God can and does answer prayers. There are so many things that we claim to pray about. But how many times do we actually pray and pray and pray and pray like we should? For me, I usually complain and complain and complain and complain. I'll be the first one to admit, I have talked about and complained about COVID-19 way more than I've actually prayed about it. I'll be the first one to admit that I've talked about and complained about our politicians way more than I've actually prayed about it. And I'll be the first one to admit that I have talked about it and complained about the racial issues, protest, and justice way more than I've actually prayed about it. I mean, think about it. How many times have you engaged in these conversations and actually said, well, let's just stop and pray about it right now? We don't, do we? Saw a thing that one of our relatives posted on today. Nobody wants to hear your opinion. They want to hear your opinion coming out of their mouths. Isn't that what we really want to hear when we talk to somebody about these issues? We don't want to hear their different opinion. We want to hear our opinion coming out of their mouths. We care about what we think and how right we are. We need to stop and pray with each other, especially with the people we don't agree with. What if we said, God, find a way to bring us together. God, find a way to take this away from us. Help us to see the real truth. Because it's easy for me to say, from my point of view, need to do this, don't we? How many people say, from my point of view, I need to do this? How many people go to bed heartbroken and in prayer to God, saying, this just cannot be? Friends, this cannot be. How can we as Christians, as James says, praise God one moment and curse our fellow human beings in the next? It can't be. Do you think God hears that praise? Do you think God hears our prayers when one moment we're cursing somebody and the next minute we're trying to go to God and say, hey, can you help us out? We need to be active in going to God with our requests. We need to go to Him and go to Him and go to Him. And not just the individual person here and there. We as a church need to unite together. We need to be persistent. We have to keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. We have to take action. Did the widow just sit at home and say, woe is me? No, she went out and said, I need action. We have to do something. We have to go. We have to seek. We have to ask God. Now, one of the hardest things to explain as a pastor and even as a parent is why sometimes it seems that God either says no, or even worse, sometimes it feels that God doesn't hear our prayers. And to even begin to answer that question would be a whole sermon series in itself. But what I do promise you is this. If we humble ourselves before the Lord, and I mean really humble ourselves, if we genuinely pray to Him as Jesus taught us to pray, if we seek forgiveness and if we offer forgiveness, if we take our own selfish motives out of our prayers and truly seek God's will, then we can be assured that God does hear and answer our prayers. That is a promise from Scripture. Now, we may not understand the timing or the way that the prayer is answered, but God does answer prayers. And as we mature in our faith and our relationship with Him, God will reveal things to us and provide us comfort and understanding in all situations. But we have to have faith. And as Jesus said at the beginning of the parable, we should always pray and not give up. We should always pray and not give up. We should always pray and not give up. I'm not here today to beat you up. I'm here to encourage you. If you've been doing it wrong, start praying. Because we can be a part of the solution. We can be the bridge builders. We can be part of what makes a lot of this go away. But we have to be authentic. We have to be genuine. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to stop serving what we want and what we think and what I. We should always pray and not give up. And with that, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, You are a great and wonderful God. And Lord, You have promised us in more than one scripture that if we earnestly seek You, if we ask, if we knock, that You will answer, that You will open doors, that You will provide for our needs, that You will take care of us. You have promised to give us strength. You have promised to give us comfort. You have promised to give us peace. And Lord, let us not just sit in our own little bubbles and watch things go along. Lord, let us be willing and humble servants, ready to serve other people with your love. Use us to be solutions. Lord, use us to provide the healing. Use us to change people's focus. And Lord, if we learn to live as you taught us, we would soon see problems disappear. Lord, let us turn our focus onto you, to the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. And let us go and serve in the way that you have taught us. For all of this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to these words from James, the brother of Jesus. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Let us go now and depart from here. Let us be free from the burden of sin. Let us live in the freedom of the Father, and let us go and serve others in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.